Good afternoon, everybody. It's nice to have your company, and thank you for staying and listening. I want to talk this afternoon about what the Bible tells us about forgiveness. And what I'd like to do is to look at this in three sections. First of all, why there is a need for forgiveness in the first place. Secondly, God's forgiveness of our sins. And then thirdly, how we should be forgiving to others who trespass against us. And so those are the three sections I'd like us to think about in our talk this afternoon. I want to start with the headlines, because here are the headlines. And the great news is that there is forgiveness with God. That's the key thing. There is forgiveness with God. Now, there's a really interesting couple of verses on the screen there in the Psalms, Psalm 130. And notice what the psalmist says here. And again, this is real comfort for you and for me. The psalmist says, "If you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, that you may be feared." And so very clearly, the psalmist tells us there is forgiveness with God. And notice how he starts that. If you, Lord, should mark iniquities. If there was a record kept of our sins, we would have no hope whatsoever. No hope whatsoever. But there is forgiveness of God, with God. And that's the key headline that I'd like us to bear in mind as we continue this afternoon. But the Bible is very clear that there are conditions, and we'll have a look at those in a short while. And one of the key things that we will see is that our attitude is absolutely crucial. What is in our heart? The Lord looks and he knows each one of us. What is our attitude towards God? So those are the headlines. So let's now put some flesh on the bone of those headlines and ask the question, first of all, why is there a need for forgiveness? And the key thing that the Bible tells us, it's because of the nature that we have. We are human beings. The Bible talks of it as our sinful flesh. And the Bible tells us, and we'll see the passage in a short while, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that's why we need forgiveness, because of the nature that we bear, which is described by the Bible as sinful flesh. And as we read in that chapter that we read by way of introduction in Romans chapter 5, the consequences of Adam and Eve's sin in the beginning have affected all of us. The punishment of mankind was death because Adam and Eve fail the commands that God laid on record for them. And the fact is, death spread to all men. We all sin, and the consequence is death. And in Romans chapter 6, the next chapter in that book that we had read by way of introduction, it's absolutely crystal clear. The wages of sin is death. We die because of sin. That's what the Bible is very clear in saying to us. And I suppose we should ask the question, well, what is sin then? What is sin? Well, we get a definition in God's word. It's in the record of the letter of John, the first letter, and at chapter 3, where we have these words. Sin is the transgression of the law, lawlessness. In other words, we disobey God's command. The original word means that we miss the mark. We miss the mark. And as a consequence, there is an enormous gulf that separates us from God. A massive, enormous gulf from the one true God, the God who is immortal, the God who is all powerful, and sinful men. And the fact is that forgiveness is only possible because of God's love and his mercy and his willingness to forgive us If we approach him in the right spirit, and we'll see more of that in a moment. So let's think a bit more about human nature. And the Bible is very clear to us. These words are not easy for us to read, but this is what the Bible tells us. It says about you and I, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Again, it doesn't hold any punches. The Bible is so clear about the nature that we bear. And the Lord Jesus recorded for us in Mark chapter 7. He adds this. Jesus says, "What comes out of a man, that defiles a man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man." That's the nature that you and I have to face in our lives. And there's a real challenge for us to stand up and to be different. There's a real challenge for each and every one of us. That's human nature. And we need to stand firm and have that self-control and do our very best to put those things behind. And to try to follow the commands and the precepts of the living God. And so, in a nutshell, what we have seen so far, that verse that I spoke about a short while ago, it's in Romans again, chapter 3. And Paul writes there, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And that's why we need forgiveness. And it's so important. That's why we need forgiveness, because we're alienated from God because of this great gulf that we have just spoken about. We're separated from the living God, and we need to be brought back. We need to be reconciled back to the living God, the Almighty God, the immortal God. And so we need to be brought back to be reconciled to Him. And it's only through God's grace and His mercy that we can do that. He is willing to forgive our sins and to be reconciled back to Him if we will but approach Him in the right spirit. But there was a price to pay. There was a price to pay for us to be able to be reconciled back to God. And we cannot adequately summarize this in words. But the Bible is very clear again about this aspect of forgiveness. And the Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. That's recorded for us in Hebrews chapter 9. And in the Old Testament, animals were sacrificed, and that was done regularly, day after day, regularly, in accordance with the laws given by God. But those sacrifices were insufficient. And it needed one perfect offering so that we might have this opportunity of being reconciled back to God and to seek His forgiveness. And here are some more words from Hebrews. And it's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Because all those sacrifices in the Old Testament were insufficient, but the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ was one perfect offering for all. He gave his life, his blood was shed so that we might be reconciled back to God. And so in Hebrews it says, he, Jesus, would then have had to suffer often since the foundation of the world. And again, that goes back to the sacrifices in the Old Testament. But now, once at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this the judgment, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. So there we have the Lord Jesus Christ. He led a sinless life. It tells us God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus came to do the will of his Father. He was sent by God to show us God's character. And the Lord Jesus Christ lived a perfect life and gave his life. His blood was shed to be able to reconcile us back to the living God. And again, we saw that, didn't we, in our introductory reading in Romans chapter 5, just a section of what David read for us earlier. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And that's personal. Christ died for you and he died for me. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we, you and me, have now received the reconciliation. And so there we have very clearly, forgiveness of sins only through the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder if you'd open your Bibles with me, just to a couple of passages. Most of the references are on the screen, as you've seen, but I'd just like us to have a look at two. First of all, come with me to Acts chapter 4, because this tells us quite wonderfully the importance of the Lord Jesus Christ, in that salvation, the offer that we might be saved, is only through him. Acts of the Apostles chapter 4 and at verse 12. Now you can see from verse 10 that the subject here that's been talked about is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And then in verse 12 we have this. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Salvation only through the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the other passage is there on the screen. Would you come with me to the letter that Paul wrote to Timothy? It's one of the letters towards the end of our New Testament, just before the book of Hebrews. 1 Timothy chapter 2. And Paul has some really interesting things to say here to Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and at verse 5. And again, you know, there's no question that we can misinterpret these words. They are absolutely crystal clear. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Only one God, the one true God. Only one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And the mediator is a go-between. He is the only mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And again, that's a really powerful statement given to us by the Apostle Paul in the inspired word of the living God. And it goes further in John's letter, and this is on the screen, about the role of the Lord Jesus Christ as this one mediator. If anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Again, absolutely clear. And of course, an advocate is someone who pleads our cause. That's who an advocate is. And the Lord Jesus Christ pleads our cause. And the fact is, the Lord Jesus died, as we have said. His blood was shed But the grave could not hold him because he was perfect. And he was raised from the dead. And he ascended into heaven to sit on the right hand of his Father. And he's there as an advocate, pleading our cause with his Father. We talked earlier about the amazing love and mercy of God. Because without that, none of this will be possible. It's God who gave his Son. It was his love shown as he gave his Son. This is what the psalmist has to say. It's in Psalm 103. First of all, in verse 8, it tells us, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy." What a wonderful description of the one true God. And then two verses further on, the psalmist says, "He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him." This is God's doing. Yeah, this is quite wonderful. Yeah, it comes back to that summary that we looked at to begin with. If there's a record kept of sins, we would have no hope at all. And so the Lord has not dealt with us according to our sins. And there is forgiveness. And we have a God who is loving and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. But the Bible is very clear that there are conditions. Forgiveness is promised if our attitude is right. And I'd like us to look at three passages just to illustrate the point. First of all, this is also from the first letter that John wrote. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so it's about our attitude. If we confess, he is faithful and just to forgive us. And that same principle comes out in the book of Proverbs, in Proverbs chapter 28. And the writer says there, "He who covers his sins will not prosper." Notice, "But whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy." That's a clear statement from God in his word. Whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. And again, it comes back to confessing our sins and trying our best not to do them again, to forsake them. To try our best to again put behind us the nature that we bear and to have that self-control and to try to follow the commands of the living God. And in Isaiah's prophecy, "Here are the words of the Lord, but on this one will I look, on him who is poor, humble, and of a contrite spirit, and who trembles at my word." That's what the Lord wants to see, that right attitude in our hearts. And there's another condition too, that we forgive others. And we sang about that in our opening hymn. And that was based on Matthew's record, the Sermon on the Mount. And we have these words as part of the Lord's Prayer that Jesus gave his disciples as the typical prayer for them to use. "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." And again, this is all part of the principle that we have in the gospel message and the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is to love one another. To love God and to love one another. On those two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. There was an occasion where Peter came to the Lord Jesus and he was concerned as to, well, how many times should I forgive someone? The record's in Matthew chapter 18. Peter came to Jesus and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? And you can imagine, you know, Peter thinking, well, what shall I say? Twice, three times, four times? I'll err on the right side. I'll say seven times. But notice what Jesus says. I do not say to you up to seven times, but to 70 times seven. In other words, go on forgiving all your days. Go on forgiving all your days. So it's important that our attitude is right and that we are equally forgiving. And there's another aspect that I'd like us to look at. And the last one. We mustn't forget what the Lord Jesus Christ had to say in the record of Mark's Gospel in chapter 3. And he said these words. He said, "Assuredly I say to you, all sins will be forgiven the sons of men, and whatever blasphemies they may utter, but he who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is subject to eternal condemnation." What did the Lord Jesus Christ mean by that? What did the Lord Jesus mean? The Holy Spirit is the power of God. And I suggest what Jesus is saying, if we do not believe in the power of God to forgive us, how can we expect to be forgiven? And I think that's the point that the Lord Jesus Christ is making there. So let's summarize what we have said in our remarks this afternoon. We need forgiveness because of sin. That was the first point. But we've also seen that God is a loving and a forgiving God. God wants us to believe in him and in the Lord Jesus Christ. And through the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus, that one offering, that perfect offering, we are able to approach God and to seek for forgiveness. But God looks for us to have that right attitude as we seek him. And he wants also to see us being forgiving in that Christian aspect of loving one another. And so, finally, you know, what's the purpose of forgiveness? What's the point of forgiveness? We read, didn't we, in our introductory reading? So that, as sin reigned in death, grace might reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And it's all about God's plan, because God has made us an offer through his word. God is seeking a special people who are faithful to him, those who truly believe in him and in the Lord Jesus Christ. And for those who come to the Lord with that right attitude, eternal life is promised only through the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation is only available, as we saw in Acts chapter 4, through the Lord Jesus Christ. And as part of God's plan, there is a kingdom coming here on this earth, God's kingdom. We sang in that opening hymn as part of the Lord's Prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that is fundamentally the reason for forgiveness, that we might have that wonderful hope and look forward to that day with great expectation and hope and excitement. Thank you very much.